kind of marginal evidence right now. We're waiting for more supportive evidence before we, you know, change our interpretation. But basically, they found at Horseshoe Lake, which is just a couple miles north of Cahokia Mounds, evidence of a flood episode there. What's interesting is that in our excavations at the Cahokia site, we see very little evidence of flooding, which you would expect to leave deposits, soil deposits in house basins and garbage pits and storage pits and things like that. And we just don't see much evidence for that. So we may have just been just enough higher in elevation, just a, you know, a couple feet or so, that it didn't flood as much here as it did in other areas. But it certainly would impact, you know, agricultural fields and the things like that, which these people relied on for, you know, food support to feed all the population and the surpluses they needed to, for trade and for other, you know, maintenance. So it certainly, if there was a flood, and there seems to be some indications of that, it would have some kind of effect on, you know, what was going on here. What's interesting is after that period of about 1200 AD is when we see a lot of the population decline at Cahokia, leading up to its eventual abandonment by the mid-1300s. So there's probably many factors involved rather than any one disaster, but it was probably a contributing factor.
Now, a lot of other work being done at the site, though, research that's taking place. Give us kind of an overview, if you could, of some of the things that that are going on there.
Well, we have several long-term projects. At one point there in time, there was a almost two-mile-long wall of wooden posts that surrounded the central ceremonial precinct of Cahokia, and which we call the palisade or the stockade. And it was basically a defensive wall because about every 90 feet along the wall there were bastions, these like guard towers that would project outward for warriors to stand in to, you know, protect the face of the wall and to catch any attackers and crossfires. And the wall was built at least four times in about the same location. But we've been able to identify where it is on its eastern limits and southern limits and a bit of the western side of its route. But we don't know exactly where the northern portions of the wall are going, and that's what we've been pursuing the last few years. Another project was Mound 34, which was partially dug back in the 1950s by an amateur archaeologist. And in more recent years, archaeologists from Washington University and Northwestern University have been conducting excavations to remove the backfill from those earlier digs to re-examine the soil profiles and stratigraphy in the mound. One thing that was discovered in the earlier excavations was a suggestion there might be a copper workshop area. So Dr. John Kelly has been kind of coordinating that project, and he has found additional evidence that indeed there was some kind of a copper processing area where they're hammering the copper nuggets, which come from around Lake Superior, into, you know, sheets which are then cut out into various ornaments and ceremonial objects. But we're not finding the finished product. We're finding the residue from that that process.
And those are the long-term projects. Talk about maybe some of the short-term work that's been going on.
Well, one of the more recent projects we've had is a group of archaeologists from the University of Bologna in Italy. And they're interested in complex societies and understanding more about our complex society here. What they've been doing is expanding on some excavations that were done by the Illinois State Museum back in the 1960s when the interstate highway was being built through the area. That earlier excavation found a very complex series of structures and buildings and what we call compounds, these large rectangular and circular enclosures. But we also have a lot of work that's been done in the last few years, what we call remote sensing, using what we call geophysical equipment, things like ground-penetrating radar. So that will help indicate where structures were, buildings, houses, storage pits, garbage pits, fire pits, things like that. So you can do this by just walking across the surface of the ground with these instruments, and the computer then maps out where these disturbances are, and gives us better direction where to dig.